Oh, advertising for your office, and Silver Flake is our flower. Dalton, would you pray for all of us, please?
Saturday, we always, you know, we have food and some other stuff afterwards. Preacher Curtis Ponder
Be praying for him. As I mentioned, Fifth Sunday will be our youth Sunday. So pray for our youth and pray for the service that day as everything gets lined up there. Does anybody know of any other announcements to make? Okay, so that's it as far as announcements. Who's got a request for prayer? Lift that hand. Amen. Amen. The Lord sees all these. I remember all these. Many requests that have been made mention of. I continue to remember the Smith family, if you would. That's the family of my cousin that passed away. His funeral was yesterday. They were certainly folks there that needed to hear the gospel and heard it. So just pray that God will work on those hearts and minds there. And there's been several other requests that I mentioned. Remember Preacher Billy? You know, he had several things going on this week health-wise. And he's on some antibiotics now, and that's kind of giving him a hard time. So continue to remember him. Always remember Miss Vivian and the different stuff she's got going on there. Miss Gary mentioned last week, remember Brother Charles? He's got another spot of cancer that's got to be taken off. He hadn't had that done yet, has he?
Anyway,
I think he had this week. That may be why he's not here. Okay. So I know a lot of times when we have some taken off, you know, it takes them a little bit to get healed up or whatever. So I definitely continue to remember him on that. But he just keeps having to get them things taken off. So pray the Lord would help him. I remember a young lady that my sister went to school with. I won't mention her name, but it's doubtful anybody would know who she is anyway. But she's got a special request. She just had a baby. And her found out that her husband was not being faithful and has now left her. So she's in a bad situation there. Just pray that God will move in that situation and take care of that need. You know, however the Lord sees fit. He knows what he needs to do. So just pray that God will take care of that. Appreciate the Lord helping our pastor feel better. He says he's feeling better some this morning. Continue to pray for him. Continue to remember Miss Stephanie and her pregnancy. What did they find out about your, how did your sugar test go?
I never heard.
Like you for sure have it, it's not a repeat?
Yeah.
Okay. So pray for Miss Stephanie on that, because that's a lot more that you have to deal with, you know, during the pregnancy there. Christina was borderline, so she had to do some of the stuff, not all of it. So I know that's a lot to deal with, and, you know, on top of everything else y'all got going on, y'all got a lot of irons in the fire. So just pray that the Lord will help them there. Pray for us this evening, if you would. Preacher Austin asked us to preach at his church this evening. He's got a lot going on right now, and he had a funeral that he was going to have to preach, but he didn't know where it was going to be. I don't know if you've talked to him, if he's already preached it or not, but he told him to be praying about that. So, and I think his thought was, probably he knew it might have been this evening, and he might not even get to be there. So whenever that is, just pray for him. Y'all remember Preacher Austin, he's going to preach for us several times. Pastor Rizzoli. In Kaiser. So, how are Derek and Katie? Are they feeling any better?
Yes, they're getting better.
Okay, good. Praise the Lord for that. Is Lucy doing pretty good?
She is. She's trying to get rid of the cold and the flu, but she's doing better too.
Okay, amen. Amen. Continue to remember them. Continue to remember Keith and Karen. They've had a lot going on recently, so just pray the Lord to help them. Appreciate it. See, Brother Robert, he got to sneak in on us, you know, after Sunday school. We missed y'all Wednesday. I don't know if Letta told you, ran into him at the grocery store, and yeah, he was saying that he wasn't feeling real good. So appreciate the Lord bringing him back. Appreciate the Lord helping Miss Ashley come this morning. She wasn't able to be here earlier, so appreciate the Lord helping him that there. Remember, Brother John mentioned this morning that Tim Young got to start his treatment this past week. So remember him. And I'm sorry, John, I could not quite hear what you were saying. Who was the other person you were requesting prayer for this morning?
Cousin of mine, kidney cancer.
Okay, so remember this. Matthew's mentioned some special requests he had this morning, so please do remember these. How's Fred? Is he still kind of...
He's maintaining. Yeah, he's okay.
Okay.
Amen. Keep praying for him.
Amen.
He's don't want to get up and move around. He's failed a few times. He's scared he's going to get hurt. So.
Yeah.
But don't want him to get sedentary either.
Right, yeah. And that causes all kinds of stuff, especially for a tall person. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Heart and circulation and all that.
Just pray for him.
Amen. Amen. Remember us for that. Who else has got a request you want to mention this morning?
Yeah.
Yes, I was gonna ask you, is Barbara doing any better than she was last week? Amen. Appreciate the Lord helping Miss Barbara business. And probably, I know most of y'all probably at least have an idea if she is. She goes over to Preacher Dwight Mashiki's church, her and her husband Gary. You know, they've been in there for the Lord for a long time. I mean, I don't know how long. Longer than I've known. Anybody else this morning? Oh, I did want to make mention, Brother Dan told us they got a new grandbaby. How old is she, did you say?
She's 2 days old.
2 days old. Yeah, so Mama's a little on the petite side, but she came out all the way cooked. She was a little over 8 pounds, so she was pretty well done baking when she came out. But so everybody's doing well, so we praise the Lord for that new life that was born there. But everybody, let's come and pray.
Amen.
Rapture of the church and a premillennial tribulation.
Now, let me also say this, that if somebody does not hold that specific viewpoint, that is not a reason to break fellowship.
Right, man, right, and.
Okay?
Yeah.
But generally speaking, we as independent Baptists, that's what we generally believe. And why is that? What scripture do we have to support that claim and that interpretation of eschatology? Eschatology is studied in times of prophecy. And then I said Wednesday we started sort of preaching on that. This morning we're going to continue that. Lord willing, we'll be on that for a little while. You know, the Bible says that the book of Revelation pertains more to end times prophecy than anything else in the book. And it says that we receive, it's only by the book in the Bible that gives a declaration at the beginning of the book that we receive a special blessing by studying that book. And so there is blessing in studying end times prophecy.
Yeah.
And I've preached on this before. You can't wear it out.
Right.
It's good to study on. It's good to preach on. It's good to meditate on. It'll encourage you. It'll help you with your walk with the Lord. And so we're willing to keep doing that. Has anybody got a special song they want to sing before we get started this morning? Amen, girls. Come on. Amen. Now, I will tell you, I know how y'all work. Nine times out of ten, you know, you have the question, but you wait till Sunday of to start studying. And let me tell you this, it will take more than an afternoon to pin down, even to summarize that answer. And this is my hope. I hope that just about every, the first one cites about six or eight different verses. And then everybody else probably could use the same ones. That's okay. But just go discover it for yourself.
Yeah.
You'll be glad you did. I promise you.
Amen.
Go ahead, girls. Appreciate it.
Get to me.
Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. Matthew, chapter 24. If I'm not prophecy, I had a prophetic dream last night. I'm not even kidding you. I had a dream that we were in service today at 156. I did. Oh, man, my wife was back to bed. She was everywhere. She's like, you know, like, hurry up, let me get this. Well, I mean, I was preaching this whole time. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. I wish I had a stamina to preach that long. I do. Preaching takes a lot out of you. You might not think it does, but it does. It takes a lot out of you. But this morning, I'm going to preach on this thought. Wednesday, we talked about that Jesus will return. That was the message, is that Jesus will return. This morning, we want to preach on this thought. We want to look at this, the signs of his return. There are signs of his return. And we're going to begin reading here in Matthew chapter 24. And the Bible tells us this in verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. At the end shall many of be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. Pray, God, that you would remove any distraction from us here this morning, God, that you might just be glorified in this, Father. And I pray, God, that you would be make your presence manifest here before us as only you can. God, we have no hope. I am useless here this morning without your power, God, and your presence. May you make it known to us even now, immediately, O Father. Lord, open our hearts to receive your word and be glorified. Do great things through the power of your word this morning. And may we exalt and lift up the name of Jesus. It's in his name we beg. Amen. As we read here, we see if we take note of this, that there are different things here that are listed in the Word of God that we see as being some signs that it is the last time. And we can even see that we are here in this last time. First of all, notice this. He says this. He says that the first thing he says, now take heed, verse 4, no man deceive you. And the first one he gives us in verse 5 is, he says this, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And, you know, you don't hear this often as much as you might think, but there is quite a few people who have claimed to be Jesus since the time of Christ. As far as we know, we can go back to the There was one person in the 1600s, and for sake of time, because like I said, I have that dream, I'm not going to name all these. But there was one person in the 1600s that claimed to be Jesus Christ. In the 1700s, there were two people that claimed to be Jesus Christ. In the 1800s, there were eight people that claimed to be Jesus Christ. In the 1900s, there were 29 people that claimed to be Jesus Christ. And thus far in the 2000s, there have been 13 people who have claimed to be Jesus Christ. Some of these people are claiming simultaneously, but these people altogether have millions of followers. And so we see that the scripture is coming to life. It says there will be many that come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There are millions of people that are following these false messiahs that have risen up, many of them being cult leaders and so on and so forth. But we see the progression of it. Not only do we see that there's many that do, but we see that there is a progression of those that do. Going back to the 1600s into present day, it has doubled and then it has quadrupled and so on and so forth. And we can see how that the number of them that are making these claims as time goes on is progressing. Also, in verse 6, he says this. He says that you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. He says, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And so whenever we hear about the nuclear wars that could go on and how that North Korea has nuclear warheads and Russia has nuclear warheads and we think that we could be facing the end of civilization, he says the end is not yet come.
Right.
He says, I've still got my judgment to pour out upon this earth,
yeah,
and no nuclear warhead's going to get in my way.
Right.
But nevertheless, we see that right now, I didn't realize this, I was doing some research on this, and I knew about some of these, but not all of these. There are six major wars going on in the world right now. There was last year, this is all from 2024, there were 19,000 killed in Myanmar. Over 30,000 killed in the Israel and Arabic wars. Over 20,000 were killed in Africa by Boko Haram insurgency. Over 16,000 were killed in the Sudan of Africa in the Sudan conflict. Over 10,000 were killed in Africa over the Ethiopian Civil War. And then 77,000 were killed in the Russia-Ukrainian War. This was all of last year. Altogether, the totals for all these wars, since they've been going on, is over 3 million people have died. Currently, right now, there's 10 minor wars that are going on and active in the world right now. And for all of these, the death toll was over 55,000 last year. Right now, there is about 22 different conflicts that they call. It's not developed into what they would call even a minor war, but it's a conflict going on all over the world with death tolls last year totaling over 10,000 people. Now he says that you'll hear of wars, and so we can see that obviously there's wars. Like I said, there's six or seven major wars going on right now. We see that there's 10 minor wars, and there's over 20 conflicts all going on in the world right now. Now you back up 20 years, and you can cut those numbers in less than half. You back up 40 years. Do you know that there was less conflicts going on in the world during the time of World War II than there is right now? Do you know that it was actually about 20% of the casualties and the wars that are going on right now? America ain't the only country out there, folks.
Right.
It's a big world. And so he says we hear of these wars. And then that's not only do we hear of wars, we hear of rumors of wars. Now, a rumor, by the very definition of the word, is a statement that has not been proven to be factual, right?
Yeah.
That is a rumor. Somebody says something about something, but it's not proven. And so when we hear these things about, you know, that we might be going to war with China, or we might be going to war with Russia, or Russia might be going to war with NATO, or China might be going to war with Taiwan, or we hear about North Korea and South Korea and says, well, no, that's not proven. Nobody's proven that. Exactly. It's a rumor of war.
Right.
And we live in a day and time when 20 years ago, even during the Cold War, at least there was not as many, we had rumors, but it wasn't to the point. Now, what I'm saying is this, is that the wars have escalated, and the rumors of wars have escalated, and the tensions against countries, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and nations that want to rise up against other nations, that has escalated in our lifetime. Do you see this?
Yes.
Do you see the Bible prophecies being fulfilled before your very eyes?
Yes.
That's what I want to ask this morning. We talked about Wednesday night how that Jesus will come back. Yes. And this is the signs of his return.
Yeah.
And he says this, not only there'll be wars, but there'll be rumors of wars. Right now, experts all over the world in geopolitical predictions are saying that we need to prepare for World War III. Rumors of wars. Always in front of us. Now, like I said, in saying that, the good Lord was good enough to put this down here in verse number 6. He said, we hear of wars, rumors, and wars. See, then you mean our trouble. How about that?
Yeah.
He said, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. See that you be not troubled. He says, listen, it's not done yet till I say it's done. He says, I'm going to have my final say. So now we're going to get into this as we go on through this study. And we're going to preach on the rapture of the church. We're going to preach on the tribulation period. We're going to preach on the difference between the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years. So buckle up and get ready. Those things are coming. But this morning we just want to focus on this, that there are signs in front of us right now that we can see and that we can realize that Jesus is coming back sooner than later.
Amen.
Now, like I said, will he come back or not? I believe he will.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, if he don't, does that mean we were fools? No, it means we were faithful.
Right.
Because the church fathers, the first church, they looked for Jesus to come in their lifetime. Were they fools? No, they were faithful.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Bible teaches us constantly, over and over again, and the teaching of Jesus was this, and the last charge that he gives us, I read in Revelation chapter 22, the last charge that he gives us, he said it 3 times in the last chapter of the Bible, the same chapter in which he said, do not add anything to it, do not take anything away from it, and the last charge given is this, he says, I come quickly, I come quickly, I come quickly.
Yeah.
3 times. And so, we're not to get discouraged about it, but we're to believe it. We're to look for it.
Yep.
And there's blessing in that. There's blessing in looking for that. I'm not trying to scare you here this morning. If you're scared, get right with God. If this bothers you this morning, then repent and be born again. If you're lost and if you're saved, but you have not been living in the right kind of relationship with him, make it right this morning that you can leave here encouraged and welcoming the returning of Jesus Christ. Hey, well, this world ain't worth holding on to, I promise you.
Right, that's right.
We've got a better place coming. Amen. And so again, we see in verse number 7, it says, nation rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. It says, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Now, it's talking about there's signs of natural and man-made disasters. Now, we see the natural disasters. Now, when it says earthquakes, the word there that is being translated is seismos. That means a commotion. And it can mean a motion of the air. It would be a gale. Or if it's of the ground, it can be an earthquake. And if it's of the sea, it can be a tempest. But nevertheless, that word is used in different kinds of ways. It would be the same kind of word that you and I would use today to say natural disaster. It's not meaning just earthquakes. It could go as far as to mean a hurricane. It could go as far as to mean a tsunami. It could mean a volcano erupting. It could mean a wildfire. It could mean a lot of different things. It's the word that would be used to describe a natural disaster. And so when it says that there is earthquakes, earth shakings, commotions, the Bible says that is the word for it, in different places and diverse places. We see that all over, everywhere that we go. I realize this, that in the last 50 years, there have been, in the last 50 years, the number of natural disasters The severity of natural disasters, I'm sorry, not the number, but the severity of natural disasters has doubled, okay, in the last 50 years. In the last 100 years, the severity of natural disasters has quadrupled. Okay? Now, we can see the escalation of natural disasters. Now, I told you these numbers, and I went and I researched this, but I wouldn't have had to have done that, because anybody that's here this morning in your lifetime has seen the increase in the severity of natural disasters. Right? Hurricanes used to not do what hurricanes do now. You know what I mean? Hugo, people talks about Hugo. Hugo wasn't... people live down around Vail in that area and stuff, so, you know, that's seen what's happened up here in the mountains, that's seen what Katrina done in 2008. You know, they say that Hugo wasn't that bad compared to that. I mean, it was bad. But I'm saying that it's got worse and worse and worse. We see an increase in the amount of tornadoes that hit, tsunamis in the Pacific, and everywhere else all around the world. We see all these things happening, these wildfires that break out. We see these things doing this colossal damage. We see the intensity of these things increasing. It's obvious, isn't it? Please tell me if there's anybody here that it's not been obvious to, that has it in your mind and your heart questioned this and said, why are these things becoming greater and greater? You know why? It's because the Bible said so.
Yeah.
Now we see a lot of climatologists, and we see a lot of political people and so-called scientists. Those figures this day would say that that's the cause of global warming and climate change. And so they're constantly calling on us to make changes so that we can save the future, so that we can protect future generations, because they believe that the intensifying and the escalation of the intensity of these natural disasters is going to spell the end of the world for us. They believe that the polar ice caps are melting and it's causing the earth platelets to shift more and the earthquakes to grow greater. And because of the warmer air in the Pacific and the Atlantic, it's causing greater intensity of hurricanes and so on and so forth. And they would have all kinds of different explanations of why that you need to quit eating burgers so that it can help do this. And, you know, they think that even if everybody in America quit driving cars, do you realize it would only change the whole thing like 0.2% or something like that?
Yeah.
Because you got the rest of the world polluting everything like crazy.
0.0.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Dad. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yet they want to act like they're some kind of savior. You know what the Bible says about it? This is what the Bible says about it. It says that these are all the beginning of sorrows, verse 8.
Yeah.
This ain't the end, folks.
Right.
He says, you know what, this ain't man-made disaster, this is God-made disaster.
Man, yeah.
These things are not intensified because of a cow's flatulence out the pasture.
Right.
These things are intensified because God has stirred his finger in the pot.
Right.
Because he's looking down on a wicked world that is full of Satan, that is full of the spirit of the Antichrist. And he says, it's about time to go get the bride, son. And he's beginning to stir his finger down there in the pot. And guess what? It's like a little kid saying, he's got the whole world in his hand. When he says it's going to be cold, it'll be cold. When he says it'll be hot, it'll be hot. When he twirls his finger, there's a whirlwind that comes out. Whenever he blows on it, you better believe that the earth can be shaken and the tsunamis can rise. It's all according to the precious will of God. He says, this is the beginning of sorrows. He says, there's much things else to come. Now, we see also that he talks about pestilences, and he talks about famines, and we see the increase of these things as well. Now, we can see that as we see the growing of these famines, there's famines going on right now in the Middle East, famines in Africa. There's famines all over the world right now. Just because you and I don't see it, don't mean that it's not happening.
Right.
By the way, your eggs going up is not a famine. That is just the price of eggs going up. But do you know why that is? It's because that our government had to kill so many of our chickens because this bird flu is going around. Keith can tell you about that. And guess what that is? It's a pestilence.
Yes.
And we see pestilences all in the land. And we see, we just got through with the COVID-19 thing, you know, that just got behind us. And then not only that, but you've got measles outbreaks. You've got all these things. Hey, you know what? This day and time we're living in, that's disease and pestilence is something that's on people's mind a lot more than it used to be.
Yeah.
Sure it is. Especially after COVID. But what does the Bible say? It says that there'll be pestilence. There'll be famines. There'll be earthquakes, commotions of the earth in diverse places all over. He says, these are the beginning of sorrows again. And then here in verse number 9, he says this. He says that there will deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You should be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We see the signs of the persecution of the church. It's estimated that 1 in 7 Christians in the world, including those in America, and we make up a good population of them, but 1 in 7 Christians in the world are facing extreme persecution. Numbers totaling around 380 million people. Last year, this year, are suffering persecution at the hands of those who are against Christ and his followers. Most of the ones who suffer the worst persecutions, the number of countries that give severe persecution, such as the death penalty or imprisonment, things of that nature. I'm not just talking about denying you a certain job or a certain promotion. I'm talking about they literally hang with their life or they're locked up. The number of countries who severely persecute Christians has doubled. The number of countries has doubled in the last 30 years. In the last 30 years, the number of countries who will persecute Christians to that level has doubled. We see hostility increasing constantly in our own nation towards Christianity.
Yeah.
Take a look at California. Mm-hmm. Dan was talking about this morning, seeing pictures of posters in New York City with a lady with a Bible out, and they've got a circle with a red mark through it saying you're not allowed to have a Bible out in public, or, you know, I guess on a subway or whatever the case may be. That this is the world in which we're living in. I remember them going and marching up there in Washington, D.C., and they was holding up signs, and I've seen several of them that had signs that said, and I don't even know what they, you know, they say that politics, this is the same crowd that says there's supposed to be a separation between church and state. Right?
Yeah.
But yet they're up here protesting political things, and they're holding up signs that says, if Jesus come back, we can kill him again. I see them have signs like that. So don't think for a second that it can't very, very be around the corner right here. It's already happening in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. And so we see this increase in hostility towards Christians. And that's why when the Bible says they'll deliver you up to be afflicted, they'll kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Do you ever think it's funny that in our country they don't hate on Muslims?
Right.
I'm talking about the people, the same people that want to take the homosexuals and throw them off of buildings,
right,
and hang them and kill them. The homosexuals didn't support them.
Yeah, that's right.
We're over here saying, hey, listen, we just don't agree with your lifestyle. We want you to repent.
Yeah.
And we want you to be healed of the sickness you have. But yeah, they're like, you get away from us. It reminds me of Psalm 1. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine the vain thing. The king's there, but the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. They act as if the gospel, as if the word of God is some kind of chains, is some kind of binder on their life that's prohibited them from doing the things they want to do. Kind of reminds me also of what Jesus said in John chapter 3. He says they love darkness rather than light.
Yeah.
Rather than come to the light, they retreat into the darkness. And they stay there. And they hate anybody that shines the light.
Yes.
That's what you and I are facing. That's what you and I are seeing. That's the opposition we're seeing. And you can go into you go into any political building you want to. I promise you, we ought to test this. We ought to test this. Rich Matthew, we're going to paint you up, and we're going to put a dog on your head. We're going to give you Sheba and Vashnu, and you're going to go, we're going to take you up here to Morganton, to the town hall, and we're going to say, hey, listen, you know, this boy here, he wants to pray, and he wants to do, and they're going to say, all right, thank you. You know, that's what they'll do, I promise you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Burke County, folks.
Yeah.
You go down there to Raleigh, go down there to State Capitol, guess what? They welcome you in. You go down there and you wrap a towel around your head and you you take a Quran, and you go down there and you say you want to pray to Allah, and guess what they'll do? They'll welcome you in. But you take the precious word of God, the Bible, and you went down there and you stood in a suit just like every other politician's wearing, and you said, I want to pray to the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, that said, we got no room for you.
Conviction.
We see the evidence that Jesus is coming sooner than later. This is the most Christian country in the world.
Yeah.
And we see the opposition.
Yeah.
He is coming sooner than later. The Bible says this, it says in verse number 10, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. We see not only that there's signs of opposition towards the church, but there's social disorder to the point where everybody's opposed against everybody.
Yeah.
People just can't get along no more. I've made this statement before. My grandparents, Preacher Billy, and folks their age, they built their house right next to the road. They didn't have no gates. They didn't have no privacy hedge. They didn't carry no rifles. They were social people.
Yeah.
That whole generation. Their kids, they built their driveways a little bit longer. And they put trees up. You know why? Because they realized they didn't like people that much. And then people my age, that next generation, we're trying to get them back in a cave somewhere with a big gate up in a fortress because we don't want nobody coming in or out. Tell me I'm wrong. But that's what we're seeing. We're seeing this digression of people being social with one another. And it's because people betray one another. It's because, just like the Word of God said, that in the last days, it says perilous times have come. Let me just read that real quick. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. It says they're traitors, they're petty, high-minded. It says that they lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Here in that little list that it gives, it says that men be lovers of their own selves. People are not willing to sacrifice at all. They're not willing to help out their neighbor. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians too. And we see the digression of society in the world that we're living in. And they shouldn't be surprised to us. He said, he told us that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Said men will be lovers of their own selves. We live in the only generation ever that's witnessed a new phrase in the Webster's Dictionary. It's called a new word. It's called selfie.
Yeah.
That used to not be a word.
Right.
What's that about? We live in a world where they've got a Facebook and a MySpace, and it's all about you, honey. You start your own channel on YouTube, and you know every youngin there is. That's their dream now. Is to have everybody's attention on them, and be lovers of their own selves.
Mm-hmm.
It says that they're covetous over everything, they're truth breakers. It tells us all these things about people, and it just reflects what the Lord Jesus had already said back here in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 10. He said that many be offended. We live in a day and time when people are so easily offended. Hey, I'm telling you, not just people out there in the world. You can go out there and you can tell anybody anything that they don't agree with. They're going to get offended. People are not open to discussion about anything.
Right.
They're just immediately going to become offended. And because you've stepped on their toes, then now you've made an enemy out of them because just simply you stood for the truth.
Amen.
Not only that, in the church, people are so easily offended.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You know what I keep hearing all the time? You know what mean pastors, you know what we hear all the time? They say preachers just don't preach like they used to. You know what we talk about when y'all lay around? We say people just don't listen like they used to.
Yeah.
People's offended. They are. It says this. It says that many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. We see a day and time when your neighbor would settle you out in a heartbeat.
Mm.
People ain't there for one another no more. People despises one another, and people don't come together and discuss what differences they might have. They just got a hate and disdain for one another just because of who they are. Yeah. The other day, Donald Trump was giving his first State of the Union address, and he pointed over there at them Democrats, and he said, you know what? He said, I could come up with a cure for cancer. He said, and they still wouldn't even crack a smile at me. He got a little boy up there. That little boy had beat cancer, and they made him an honorary police officer. And he said, I want to get this young man up here. And he's there, and his dad was there. You can tell they're so proud, they're so happy that little gentleman beat cancer. He said, we're going to make you an honorary member of the Secret Service. And you can tell, boy, it just lit him up. And it lit up his mom and dad, and everybody was happy. And it shined out and showed up there on Nancy Pelosi and the rest of that crowd, and they still had their arms crossed, and they still acting like he is the devil. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, if you can't be happy for somebody or something like that, there's something wrong. They're just not getting along just to not get along.
Yeah.
And the Bible told us this was going to happen.
Yeah.
We don't just see it in politics, we see it in our families. These families, you got families, probably folks here this morning, you got family members that you don't have a relationship with like you used to just because of who you voted for.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's because of who they voted for that you're not stopping them, then you need to make that right.
Yeah. Amen.
You need to make that right.
Yeah.
Amen.
The Bible says this. Not only do we see the signs of social disorder, there's signs, we mentioned already the signs of the false messiahs. There's also signs of the false teachers. The Bible says in verse number 11, it says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We see today, there's all new gospel being preached.
Yeah.
That word of faith movement.
Yeah.
I can't even remember all of them. I don't study on these things a lot. Whenever I need to alert my people to things that are going on, yeah, I'll talk about it. You can look it up. There's lots of material on it. But we know this, that if we know the Word of God and if we know Him, then guess what? He says that His sheep don't follow a stranger.
Right.
Amen. I want to say this. You know, I've heard them said, preacher, they said, you know what, how sad it is that there's a lot of people over there. There's probably Christian people. I've heard them say there's probably Christian people that's going over there to some of these churches and some of these false teachers, churches, and they're starving to death because they're not being fed. Hey, guess what? I disagree. You know why? Because the Word of God says that His sheep do not follow a stranger. I say it's even sadder. Why? Because I'm afraid them people's headed to a place called hell, and it's because of there's been a man that stood up there and told them what they wanted to hear, and they've stood and put their ears out, and they've listened to what they wanted to hear. Hey, that's the judgment that God's brought against them. That's what the Bible said. It said that in the last days, He said this also. He warned Timothy about this. He said that they'll no longer hear sound doctrine. They'll turn their ears away from the truth. It says they'll gather themselves teachers. What does that mean? That means that they're going out and finding them. They're finding people that they want to hear. They'll tell them what they want to hear.
Amen.
We talked about this morning in the Sunday school class. William was talking about King Ahaziah. After that Ahab had died, Ahaziah took reign there in Judah. And what did he do? He went and he said, I fell through a lattice. I've got hurt. He said he wanted to find somebody to tell him what he wanted to hear.
Yeah.
When the man of God came and gave him a message he didn't want to hear, he said, go yonder and find me. Elijah had to defend himself a couple times before he finally went with him. But it's all because they was telling him something he didn't want to hear. We see that even yet today. But there's a rise of those that tell you what you want to hear. They tell folks what they want to hear that appeases the flesh, that makes the flesh comfortable. They'll forsake God. They'll do whatever. You know what the Bible says? It says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. What power? That they deny the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. That you'll go against the grain. You won't always. I was praying the other day, preacher, and I said, Lord, I said, let me get along with all my fellow laborers in the gospel. Lord, let me get along with everybody at work. I'm wore out. I'm tired. Let me get along with my family. Let me get along with my church. Let me get along with it. And then I stopped. I said, God, let me get along with you. Let me forsake all else, God, and go with you. I said, forgive me for praying like that, God. I want to be on your side all the time.
Amen.
But we got a world
including myself, likes to be comfortable. And we see the evidence of the rise of the opportunity of these wolves that dress like sheep.
Yeah.
Going out these flocks. But guess what? I'm not going to read it because for the sake of time, I don't want to be here until 1:56. But you go over and you read in 2 Peter chapter 2. Read that whole chapter. Guess what? God's got judgment waiting for them.
Yeah.
He knew that their time was coming. He knew that it'd be short-lived on this earth. He's not suffered this world to put up with these false teachers for long. You can see the evidence of that, and you read in 2 Peter chapter 2. And so we know that because the escalation of the false teachers that have risen up in our generation is here, it can't be much longer. The Lord's going to come back. Amen. He said that this would happen. He said there'll be many. He said there'll be many false teachers. We see the evidence of it there in verse number 11. He says, many false prophets, he says, they'll deceive me. How many are deceived today because of the false prophets? Again, in verse 12, it says this. It says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's the sign of the church growing cold.
Yeah.
When it's needed the most.
Yeah.
We see, it says, because iniquity shall abound. We see iniquity abound everywhere that we go. Guess what that's done? Whereas we are needed more than ever to be a light in the world and to be presenting the gospel and to be out there giving people the truth and the word of God. But because we're so fed up with all that we see on the television, all that we hear on the radio, all that we witness with our eyes, it just makes us cold and indifferent. And we say, God, let's just ride it out till you come back. And we don't want to do anything. You know why? We kind of, you know what the truth is? A lot of times we're kind of like Jonah was. Mm. You know what did us? We could let them have it, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
They say that there's an asteroid. They've calculated this using math that I think middle of May 2029, it's going to come, it's going to dip underneath one of our satellites. It's orbiting there. That's how close it's going to be. 7 years later, if it stays on the same trajectory, it's going to hit the Pacific. The size that it will be after going through the atmosphere, they calculated that it would cause a tsunami that would wipe out most of the east coast of Asia and the west coast of North America, including California and Washington State. And I hear this, and my first reaction, praise God, come on. You know. But then I think, man, and I think about this scripture, and I'm like, why do I feel that? What if God felt that way about me?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know I'm supposed to hate sin,
right?
Because God hates sin.
Yeah.
Amen? But you know what? God loved me enough to deliver me out of it.
Yeah, amen.
And here I've got opportunity. Now, I'm not saying I'm trying to send missions to California, Washington State. I'm just saying this, that in every situation, no matter what's going on, no matter what political party, no matter what kind of affiliation they are, hey, listen, just because their practices they're doing are against your measure, listen, we've got a responsibility to love people,
yeah,
and to love our enemies. The Bible tells us that explicitly. That's, I said before, the most Christian thing you can do is forgive somebody that don't deserve it. That's the most Christ-like thing that you can do, is to forgive somebody that doesn't deserve it. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
We see the evidence, though, where that when the church is needed most, we're reeling back. It says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Do you see how we're living in the last days? Is it evident to you that this must be what he's talking about when he says this? He says this, he says, that because iniquity shall abound, that the love of many shall wax cold. Now, you know, people just don't love anymore. Saints, we don't pray anymore. Everyone tries to distance themselves and isolate themselves from everyone else. We just try to keep to ourselves, so to speak. Like that same thing I was talking about, you know, my generation, we're trying to get back in the cave somewhere. Love of many shall wax cold. Verse 14 says this, verse 8 says, the heathen shall endure, then the saints shall be saved. Verse 14, the gospel, it says, in this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. the sign of the gospel being spread to all corners of the world. You know, right now, they say it's estimated that of everyone who has not received the gospel, about 96% of those are what they call in the 1040 window. And this is an area of land between the lines of 10 degrees and 40 degrees longitude. And it encompasses North Africa, the Middle East, and parts of Asia. But the reason that they say these people are unreached is because of most of those places are Muslim. And they're opposing of anything to do with the gospel. And many of them, if they're not Muslim, are their totalitarian regimes that are against allowing people to come in and bring the gospel because, you know, they're dictatorships or whatever the case may be. But what they're not accounting for in this study is those that go in secret to deliver the gospel to these places. Preacher Matthews mentioned to me the other day, he goes, listen, that's going to China. Guess what? That's not allowed. Amen. He's going to China to teach English. Amen. That way they can go back where they read King James Bible. Yeah. But he's going to, that's what he's doing. That's his guy. He's going to teach English, but he's going to present the gospel. Pray for him. But there's many that are going into these places that they're not accounted for. And so they think that there's still this sliver of people that haven't received it. But I'm going to say that I believe that probably everywhere on the earth right now, in every country, in every nation, there might not have been every year, but I believe every country and every nation, there's been the gospel delivered at some point. Of all these missions people sent out, so what I'm saying is this, don't bank on this as being the reason to say, oh, I still got time. It's very well possible that it could have already happened. What I'm saying is this, there's nothing that's stopping the Lord Jesus from coming back right now. Now, I've given you all these signs, and I've related them to all things that we can see and that we can experience within our own lives, things that often have to do with ourselves personally, and things that we see in our own country, and things we can see worldwide. But more than anything, what we need to be watching is Israel.
Yes.
That is the number one thing. Here, later in this chapter, he says this. I'm just going to skip over here to verse number 32 of Matthew 24. Jesus says this. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. It says, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And so he says that this is a parable of the fig tree. He says that just as a fig tree, when it puts on its leaves, why do you liken it to a fig tree? All trees put on their leaves in the spring. And then we know that summer's coming. But he said a fig tree. It's because often in the scripture, Israel itself is likened to a fig tree. In 1 Kings in chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree from Dan, even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. It's talking about a time of prosperity. And them having, being in fruitfulness of the fig trees and of the vines of grapes. And then again in Micah, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Again, they're likened there to a fig tree. In Hosea, in chapter 9, the Bible talks about Israel being scattered out. You can go and read it. And then in verse 10 of Hosea 9, it talks about Israel being likened again to grapes and fig trees. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 13, the Bible talks about them as being a fig tree that bears no fruit. In Jeremiah 24, the chapter talks about Israel being made up of good figs and bad figs. It says the good figs, the bad figs will be cast out into other nations. And then again, we see in Luke chapter 13 that Jesus tells the parable of the barren fig tree. And he's going to talk, he gives the parable how he allows it one more year to bear fruit and symbolizes the opportunity of Israel to repent and bear fruit. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus curses a fig tree that has its leaves, but it bears no fruit, symbolizing the hypocrisy of Israel, trying to look the part and not having any spiritual
fruit. And then at the end of John chapter 1, we see how Jesus sees Nathanael sitting under a fig tree. And he says, behold, a true Israelite. It's constantly comparing Israel to a fig tree. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 20, we see in verses 41 and 42, let me get back here and read that. Let me catch that real quick. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 41 and 42. He says, I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries where ye have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I have lifted up my hand to give it to your fathers. It's prophecy. We see this all through the Bible. And like I said, I could go on for a long time about the prophecies of Israel being scattered and brought back again. Do you realize there's never been a nation that has been scattered away from its homeland and brought back?
Right.
This would be like the nation, this would be like the Native Americans. This, let me put it this way, Australia, Canada, and NATO gets together and says, all you get out, we're giving this back to the Native Americans. You think that's going to happen?
Not today.
No? It would be pretty hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'd fight. I'd feel like Davy Crockett. But what I'm saying is this, is that never in the history of the world, that has never happened until May the 14th,
yeah.
1948.
Yeah.
Israel was brought back into their land.
Yeah.
That fig tree, that barren fig tree had its leaves.
Yeah.
And then he says this, he says that this generation will not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Now, there's different interpretations on generation, but I want to give you this. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 through 16, it says this, and he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, he's not talking about the most recent time, that he's talking about Israel going into Egypt. That's what he's prophesying.
Yeah.
It says, and also that nation, it says 400 years. It says, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance after 400 years. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come out, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So it says that they're going to be there 400 years, but they're going to come out. They're going to come out in the fourth generation. What's 400 divided by 4? 100. The other option for biblical generations of 70 years. 1948, fast forward 70 years, we done missed that. Right? My math right on that? Yeah. So, but if it's 100 years, that'd be 2048. So what he's saying is that before that generation passes, he said all these things be fulfilled. Now, like I said, I talked to you about the escalation. The wars, the rumors, wars, the escalation of the natural disasters and their severity. The escalation of the persecution of the church. And how that all these things have increased rapidly, especially in the last 100 years. Now what I'm saying is this, could that interpretation of that prophecy about the fig tree be wrong? Sure it can. It absolutely can. That doesn't make us fools. That doesn't make me a fool for preaching. It's called being faithful.
Yeah.
We're to look for his return. But I'm saying this, that in looking at that and seeing how that you and I have witnessed a prophecy that was going to be fulfilled, mm-hmm. that Israel will be scattered and brought back in. There's significance there.
Yeah.
I promise you that. Are they that fig tree that Jesus is talking about? I believe there's a great possibility that they are. You say, well, I got to 2048. He didn't say that
at the end of that.
Right.
He said, sometime, you know what I believe? I believe he can come back today, tomorrow, he can come back anytime.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's one thing that lacks that he should not return.
Right.
Sooner than later. I want to ask you this. Do you see the signs? And are you ready? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Is your walk with Jesus where it should be, that he would come and he would find you, and when he called you home, that he would be pleased with the way that you've been living and all that you're doing? Is this where you want to find, is this where you want Jesus to find you in life when he comes? Are you prepared? Do you need to come this morning and say, Lord, prepare my heart and my life better that I would be expected and want and desired your return? Are you desiring his return? Are you wanting his return? Do you feel as if there's unfinished business you have here on earth that's more important? Why don't you pray this morning, ask God to take that burden from you, to give you peace about his coming, that you might expect it with anticipation, rather than looking at it like going to the principal's office, or to look at it like going, getting to go on a vacation, even greater than that. I wonder this morning, if you were lost and you've never been saved, God's convicted your heart this morning and pointed out to you and said, what would come of you if I came back right now, if I came back today? What would come of you? Would you come this morning and make it right with him? I'm going to pray this morning. If God spoke to your heart, I hope you'll come. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, how that it encourages me. Lord, I thank you for loving me. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for having mercy on me. God, I thank you, Lord, for reminding me, God, that this ain't my home, and preparing a place for me. Help me, Lord, to live for you, to exalt you. Lord, that I might live a life and glorify you for your worthy. Thank you, Lord, for being so, so, so good. And have mercy on them. Watch over everyone here. Keep them safe from harm and danger. I pray, Lord, that you would save the lost. And God, that you would sanctify me and everyone else here this morning that knows you. God, that we live the life that you'd have us to live, and that you'd be exalted in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. With all hearts and minds clear, you're at liberty to go.